I don't even know if I can preach tonight. I'm just so excited. My mind's everywhere. I'm just so glad for everything the Lord has done this week and everything I'm anticipating Him to do. Amen. Take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter number 3. I'll be short and sweet this evening. Acts chapter number 3. Amen. Acts chapter number 3. I love this message. The Lord's only had me preach at one time, and I was preaching 15 minutes at a public school Bible club in Winfield, West Virginia, and I preached this message. And I was praying about what the Lord had me to preach tonight this week. And I wanted to start an 11-week series tonight. I had every intention of doing that, and but I'm going to save that for next Wednesday night. We'll begin that, and I won't let the cat out of the bag too soon, but we're going to be in Hebrews chapter number 11 for a while on Wednesday nights.
Amen.
And I love the Word of God. I love every bit of it, and there's no telling where I'd be without that book. Amen.
Amen.
And I love the Scriptures, and I was wanting to preach out of Hebrews 11:1, and the Lord said, that's not ready to preach yet. And so I was so confused, and so, you know, I was like, I got to have something to preach, you know. And I prayed, and the Lord came across that little outline that I had written that day. I preached at that Bible club at the school, and I began to look at it, and I got into the book of Acts, and I started studying a little bit about it. And I've already had evening service, amen? About 2 hours ago, back in that trailer, when I was studying for this thing, I was shouting and praising the Lord.
Amen.
And I hope what the Lord has encouraged me with in the Scriptures can encourage you tonight. But we'll be in Acts chapter number 3, and if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat in alms for the beautiful gate at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them at the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" And if the Lord had helped me tonight, just for a few moments, I promise I won't keep you long. I want to preach on this thought: little as much when God is in it. Little as much when God is in it. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. God, we thank you so much that you shed that mercy and grace on us every single day, God. Just a privilege to be in church tonight. Lord, I pray that you just get me out of the way. Help me to communicate only the things that your Spirit would have me to say. Lord, help me to preach with power and with love and with a sound mind. And Lord, help me to communicate this message that you've used to help my heart today, Lord, to help those others, Father, that are in here with us. God, I pray that you just have your will and your way in our hearts and minds. Well, thank you for all that you're going to do. I pray and I ask these things in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen. Little as much when God is in it. And we read that text, and at first glance you might think to yourself, I don't quite understand where you're going with that title or what you're getting out of that message, but I promise if you pay attention, soon enough you will. But there's just a few things that I find peculiar about this text that we've read that I'd like to draw out of the Scriptures and point out here tonight. And first and foremost, I'd like to look at this man, this crippled man that was laid at the gate, and I'd like for us to notice the man's condition. Verse number 2 says this, "And a certain man was lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us." There's just a few things from this text that I find interesting tonight. First and foremost is that I see that this man has been lame. He has never been able to use his legs. It says that he was lame from his mother's womb. He was born with this infirmity. Not only was he born with this infirmity, but there's nothing that he could do to help himself. There was no crutch that would give him enough strength to walk. There was nothing any doctors could do, but rather he had to be picked up and carried. There was nothing he could do about it himself. He was in bad shape. Not only that, but I want to see part of this man's condition. In verse number 4, I find it interesting that it says this, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us." Look on us. And I remember the first time I read that, Brother Larry, and it jumped out at me from the pages of Scripture how that John and Peter had to tell the man to look at them. Now, the Bible says that he saw them coming into the temple, but still yet, Peter had to tell him to look on him. You know what that tells me? That tells me that this man, this cripple, laid at the gate of the temple just like he had every day of his life leading up to this day. Nothing was different this day. He was laid at that temple and he sees Peter and John coming. And as he's laid outside of that temple, his head's hung low. He's not even looking at the people that are coming in anymore. He's not even trying to look them in the eyes. He just stands there with his head down and his hand out, asking alms to those who might give to him. This is a pitiful, desperate situation that we find. As a matter of fact, just to give us a clue of what this man's life is like, in the next chapter of this book, in Acts chapter number 4, in verse number 22, the Bible says that he was this way. He was a cripple from above 40 years old. This was an adult man. This was an aged man. This was a man in his 40s who each and every single day, from as young as he could remember, he was carried by people to that gate, to that outside of that temple, and he was laid at that gate, and that was all he knew about life. Was to lay there and to sit and to soak and to sour and to sob and to beg for what he could get. I want to notice this man's condition because tonight it reminds me a lot of how God found us. You know, there was nothing we could do about that condition that we have. You know that you and I were born sinners, that you and I are born with the sin-cursed blood of Adam running through our veins, and that no matter what your mama did or your daddy did or how they worked in the church or how great a preacher your grandpa was, there was nothing you could do about that situation that you were born with. We were a hopeless case, and we couldn't help ourselves. The church couldn't help us. Our friends couldn't help us. Our brothers and sisters couldn't help us. There was nothing that any earthly man that could do for us about that sinful situation that we were in. We see the man's condition. He was so brokenhearted, he was so discouraged, he wouldn't even look at these men. He wouldn't look at them. Grown adult man laying outside of that gate, crippled, sitting baking in that sun just like he had every day, just begging for whatever he could get a hold of. You know, I heard a story years back. There was a man, one of my heroes, Brother Rocky Sheldon. He's the director of the Crossroads Rescue Mission in Shelby, North Carolina. He said that he'd never, ever, ever allowed pets at the shelter. He said, that's just something I didn't do. They were a distraction. You got to take care of them. You got to feed them. I'm trying to feed 55 men anyways. He said, that's just not something I have time for. And he said he'd turned away 100 cats. He turned away 100 dogs. There had been raccoons and possum and deer and everything try to come and eat out of their trash, and he turned them all away and ran them off. But he said there was one day this dog came by, and it was mangy and it was ragged, and they could see the bones on its back legs, and it was starved, and they could see its ribs. And it came up, and he found the men of the mission all hunkered over in a corner by that little rundown schoolhouse that makes the mission today. And they were all down there, and they were petting that dog, and they were trying to help it, and they were feeding it water. And Brother Rocky sat over there, walked over there. He said, "What did I tell you about having those animals?" He said, "You feed that thing, you take care of that thing, it's going to keep coming around." He said, "Get rid of that thing." And they said, "All right, Brother Rocky." And as they got ready to get rid of the dog, and he said the dog looked him in the eye. And he said he saw that dog. And he said he looked at that dog and he realized that the only help that dog was going to get was going to come from him. That was the only kind of mercy that thing was going to see was going to come from him. And he said the Holy Ghost spoke one in his heart and said, "It kind of looks like you when I found you. Ragged and depraved, helpless, and you had no hope if it wasn't for me." That dog's still there today, and Brother Rocky loves to tell that story. But I'm reminded of a story of grace in the Bible, of a partnership, a friendship between two men by the name of David and Jonathan. And Jonathan laid his life down on the battlefield. And David swore that he would show goodness unto the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. And after he's been brought forth and he's been presented as the king of Israel and he's on his throne and he sits in this sovereign position, he asks the men, he says, "Is there not one man left of the house of Saul that I may show goodness to him for the sake of Jonathan's sake?" And he said, "There's one. There's a cripple boy named Mephibosheth, and you can go down to Lodabar and find him." And he sent the chariots. The king's chariot showed up to pick up Mephibosheth. And he said, "The king sent for you. He wants to find you. He wants to show you goodness. He wants to show you mercy. He wants to take care of you. For Jonathan's sake, he wants to show you grace and mercy." And I'm sure that Mephibosheth was thinking as they picked that little cripple boy up and they laid him in that carriage as he was making his way to the king's palace. He said, "Wow, I never thought I'd see the gates of the city of Jerusalem. I never thought I'd see this place." And he even questioned those guards. He said, "What would the king have to do with such a dead dog as I? I'm glad that God showed us mercy in the midst of our hopeless condition." We see the man's condition. And not only do I see the man's condition, but I want to look at the man's compassion. The man's compassion in verse number 5. "And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said," and I want you to listen closely to the things that Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Rise up and walk. Amen. I remember there was we were out witnessing a few weeks back before Easter. We were out trying to tell people. We were up on Ray Drive, and there was a man. We met him at a chain link fence across the fence, and my buddy went over to hand him an invitation to church, and he said, "I have something for you." He said, "Is it money?" And Colton said, "I got something better for you." And Peter came to this man, and he said, "Silver and gold have I none." And let me tell you something. You see these people laid up on the streets and you see these people that are homeless, you'd be surprised to figure out how much money those people make by begging. I've heard a statistic that said those people get somewhere close to $200 a day doing what they do. And that some people will dress themselves up and go out and fake it to make that kind of money. And the only reason I make that point is to say this. For 40-something years, that man has laid outside of the gate that is called Beautiful at the temple. He's laid outside of that temple mount, and people have come by, and I'm sure that once in a while, someone will give him a token of silver. Someone will give him a coin of gold. Someone will give him something. And with all that money that he's begged over 40 years, nothing improved his condition. Amen. That means there was nothing that those doctors could do for him. There was nothing that money could do for him. As a matter of fact, we study a little bit about that gate called Beautiful and the people that were coming in from there from off the Mount of Olives. And it's interesting because those were religious people going to do religious things. There was nothing that religion could do for this man. They had nothing to offer him. You say, "Well, why does that make such a big deal with these men's compassion?" Because of this. Because that man had nothing to offer Peter and John. That man had nothing to give Peter and John. Peter and John had nothing to profit from helping this man out.
And they tell the man, they said, we don't have any silver and gold. And obviously the man's realized by now that there's nothing that the doctors can do. And he's sitting outside of the gate that's called Beautiful, so he doesn't need Peter and John to explain to him that there's nothing that the scribes or the Pharisees or the priests can do for him. When he couldn't go to the world, when he couldn't have the riches of the world, when he couldn't have religion, when he couldn't have the doctors and all their wisdom and all their might, he had to have something else. And Peter and John had exactly what he needed. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. And he says these words, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Rise up and walk. The man had compassion on this man. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Jude in the 22nd verse, and of some having compassion making a difference. It doesn't say, and of some having money making a difference. Though you have compassion, you might use that money to make a difference. Amen? But it doesn't say, and of some having money making a difference. It doesn't say, and of some having concern making a difference. You can have all the concern in the world for somebody that's dying on their way to hell, but until that turns into compassion, nothing's going to make a difference. Amen. It didn't say of some having concern. It didn't say of some having pity. It didn't say of some having mutual feelings. It said of some having compassion, making a difference. And let me say this right here, right now. I hope everybody hears me real good. A Christian that doesn't have compassion is a Christian that won't make a difference. You don't have compassion, you won't make a difference. The Bible says, and of some having compassion, making a difference. And these men, they had compassion on this man. Not only do we see the man's condition, not only do we see the men's compassion, but I want you to see something else. I want you to see something glorious in the text tonight. I want us to see that the masses are confounded. The masses are confounded. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Verse number 8, the Bible says this, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him and walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat at alms for the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And the lame man which healed Peter and John and all the people ran together amid the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. The masses were confounded. You say, masses? Yes. You go to the next chapter in verse number 4, and the Bible says that there were 5,000 people there. 5,000 people there. It literally says this, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. 5,000 people witnessed this miracle. 5,000 people who had walked through that beautiful gate, who had walked to do their alms at the temple, who had walked to do these things for God, who had walked to church every day, past this same crippled man who day after day after day was laid at that temple, who day after day after day begged for what he could get, who day after day after day laid in that condition and nothing ever changed. And here he comes in and he's leaping and he's shouting and he's praising God and he's jumping around and he's happy, he's jumping for joy and hallelujah to God. Something was different. That word confounded, it literally means to perplex or amaze, especially a sudden disturbance or surprise, bewildered or confused. Wouldn't you say some of those people were confused? Wouldn't you say some of those people were bewildered? Wouldn't you say some of those people were surprised? Wouldn't you say some of those people thought to themselves, what in the world is going on? I love it when God does something. The Bible says that He confounds the wise. I love it when God does something and you can look at it and say, I don't know how that happened. I can't explain that away. When the doctors look at those scans and say, I can't understand why that tumor's gone. Or they look at that baby and they say, I don't understand how their heart got healed so quick. Or they look at this person and they say, I don't understand how they're supposed to be walking right now. God confounds the wise. He's a miracle-working God, church. Amen. And the masses were confounded. 5,000 people on Solomon's porch outside on the inside of the gate of that temple at the Temple Mount witnessed this great miracle. And what Peter does, he points him to Jesus. Verse number 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness, we had made this man to walk. I was reading a book on revival one time, and the preacher, the man writing the book, he said this. He said, the reason God won't send a revival in today's day and age is because some man would take credit for it. You got to remember, friends, that it ain't about you and I. There's only one name that matters, and it's not Pastor Mike. It's not Larry Martell. It's not Lowell Nip. It's not David Carrico. It's not Tom Rice. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the only name that matters.
Amen.
And Peter, he points him to Jesus. He said, it wasn't our might. It wasn't our holiness. And we know at this time that God had given the church sign gifts and that Peter could heal whoever he wanted. But he made sure to give the glory to God. And he made sure to let people know that it was only through the gospel of Jesus Christ that this man was healed. 5,000 people witnessed this.
We mentioned just a moment ago how in the 22nd verse of the 4th chapter we come to the knowledge that this man is aged. He's above 40 years of age, as the Bible says. I want us to look at that for just a minute. I want us to read a little bit of what comes to follow that text. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and sea and all that is in them. Listen to this. Revival is breaking out. God is pouring it out on Solomon's porch to these 5,000 people who had just witnessed this crippled man jumping up on his feet. And the Bible says, for a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel gathered together for to do whatsoever they had hand and counsel determined before to be might be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants with all thy boldness that they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done in this name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were out of one heart and one soul. And neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but all the things were common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and a great grace was upon them all. Let me tell you something. I had a wonderful time at the Jubilee this week. I mean, let me tell you, I got under the spout where the glory comes out. I cried about every tear I had in my body on Monday morning, okay? It was all gone by Monday morning. And still, somehow, I found some for this morning, amen? And I had a real good time. And I was praising the Lord. And I was shouting. But it ain't nothing like we're finding right here in Acts chapter number 4. I mean, God poured it out and left and right. Jewish people are professing the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're prophesying. And they're being filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're converting. And they're weeping. And things are changing. And it's causing a great uproar on Solomon's porch at the temple. And the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, they take notice. And they try and persecute Peter. And they try and persecute John. But I want us to go back for just a minute. And I want us to think of, in the midst of all this revival, in the midst of all this great things that's happening, in the midst of all the mighty work that God is doing right here, where did it all start? Where did all this start? With a crippled man.
Amen.
That nobody thought anything of, that nobody cared about, that nobody paid attention to. You know what the devil does to Christians? He gets inside of your head and he says, your job's not important. It's too small. It doesn't make a difference. Peter and John were just obeying God. They were just showing up to pray at the time they were supposed to be there.
Amen.
And they just so happened to pass this crippled man, shared the good news with him, healed him in the name of Jesus. Revival broke out. Some 5,000 men believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. God's Holy Ghost was poured out all over that place.
Amen.
Where did it all start? At that gate that is called Beautiful. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And sometimes we get that trusting in the Lord with all our heart down. We have that faith. We can trust with Him. But you know where we fall short? We fail to acknowledge Him in all our ways.
That's it.
We fail to remember to bring those gospel tracts into the restaurant. We fail to stop that person standing right next to us on the elevator and invite them to church or tell them about Jesus. We fail to acknowledge Him the way that we should. And you might go about your day and think, oh, that was something small, that was something little, that wasn't nothing. My friend, you have no idea what that could turn into. Peter was just listening to God. Peter just stopped by that man on his way to the temple and said, hey, let me tell you about the Lord. Let me tell you about somebody that can heal you, somebody that can fix you. And before they know it, the whole place is turned upside down on their head for Jesus.
Amen.
The masses were confounded. Little as much when God's in it, church. A small gesture of kindness and compassion might turn into something far more great than you could ever imagine. And I can't help but finish this message without saying this. This is what got me shouting while I was studying earlier. You notice if you have a King James Bible tonight, and I hope you do, that when it describes that gate, the gate called Beautiful, that B is capitalized in Beautiful. That's because that's a proper name. That's a proper name. That was literally the name for that gate. And Brother Larry, I got to study in that gate called Beautiful. And I wanted to know more about it. I thought it was interesting that God would make such specificity regarding which gate that man was laying outside of. And you know what I found, Brother Lowell, when I was studying that gate called Beautiful? That it's called by another name as well. It's called by the Golden Gate. It's called by the Golden Gate. And that Golden Gate at the Temple Mount, it sits on the eastern side of the Temple Mount. And these men obeying God, these men just doing what God told them to do, seeking after the will of their Father, came in through that gate, and come running behind them was that hopeless case, that crippled man that nobody wanted, nobody cared about, nobody thought anything else about. And one of these days, there's going to be another man come through that eastern gate. And he's going to be fulfilling the will of his Father. And all those scriptures back in Ezekiel chapter number 44 that says when he sets his feet on that Mount of Olives, it's going to cleave, it's going to split wide open, and he's going to come through that eastern gate, and you know who's going to be following behind him?
Amen.
That cripple.
Amen.
That one that when nobody cared about him, Jesus cared about him. That one that when nobody wanted to hear anything that he had to say, God bowed down his ear and he heard that prayer and he saved his soul. You have no idea what a simple kindness, gesture of kindness can do. You have no idea what a simple act of kindness can do in someone's life, what it can spiral into, what it can turn into. And we look at these great, mighty miracles in the Bible, so we say, God, how did you do these things? God, we want to see these things today. Let's not forget where it all started. Let's not forget where it all started for us. That person that shared the gospel with you. That person that prayed night after night and night after night for your salvation. That person who took you to church, took you to Sunday school. That person who gave you that tract, that person who knocked on your door. Whoever it was.
Amen.
Means the world to you now, doesn't it?
Amen.
I think of that 10-year-old little boy that begged me to get on that church bus that evening. He said, come on, we'll have fun. They have snacks, they have games. Have a good time. I heard the gospel and I got saved. And I'm sure he doesn't even think about it a whole lot now. But I think about it every day.
Amen.
And I'm sure Peter and John, as they went on and did so many mighty things for the Lord. And Peter was slain and martyred and crucified for the sake of the gospel. And John was exiled to Patmos after he was boiled in oil. And all these great mighty things they did to work for the Lord Jesus. I'm sure that that might not have came through their mind too many a times, that crippled man. But to him, I'm sure he thought about it every day. I'm sure during that pilgrimage when people would come to the temple every year, they'd see him standing. He'd be there waiting. He'd be tap dancing. They'd say, you're the one that was crippled. You're the one that's been laying out of the gate for the past some 30-odd years. What happened? He said, let me tell you about it. Two men had compassion. They shared with me the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't money. It wasn't religion. It wasn't a doctor. It was compassion. little as much when God's in it. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just one moment? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I wonder if we'd have anybody in the church tonight that want to come to the altar and say, "Preacher, I want God to use me. I want God to help me to be more like Him. I want to be more compassionate. I want the Lord Jesus to use me to make a difference in someone's life." Would you come to the altar this evening? He said, "Preacher, many a times I make light of my job. I make little of my job, and sometimes I don't feel like I'm making a difference at all." You have no idea whose life you're changing by staying faithful to the Lord. I wonder how many say, "Preacher, I don't do quite as good a job of handing out tracts. I don't do quite as good a job of witnessing out in public as I should." And let me tell you something. Let me tell you, church, I'll be the first one to admit that I could do a better job of it myself. Would you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. God, help me." I wonder if you come to the altar tonight, if you can, and say, "God, help me. I believe little as much when you're in it. I believe there's people outside of these doors that are just like that crippled man, and they're hopeless and they're down and they can't so much as even look up because their hearts are so heavy, and they need you. They need you to tell them about Jesus." Maybe you want to come to the altar and thank God for the one that took you to Sunday school, the one that prayed for you, the one that took the Bible and read it to you and showed it to you. That compassion. Maybe you want God to do something big. Maybe you want to see and experience just like they saw on Solomon's porch with all those 5,000 some men were converted and came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it turned the whole city of Jerusalem on its head. Maybe you want to see things like that happen. It all starts at the gate. Say, "Lord, send me to the gate. Send me to the one. Send me to the one sheep of the 99. God, send me to that one person who needs you the most. And help me to be bold to witness to him." You might be in here this evening and say, "Preacher, I don't even know if I'm on my way to heaven myself. I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know that I've ever been born again. I don't know that I don't have that peace of God." Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me." Say, "Preacher, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I died, if I would go to heaven or if I would go to hell. I don't even know. Pray for me." Would you raise your hand? There's nobody looking but me. I'll ask you to do this. If you know you're saved, will you raise your hand? Just to make me comfortable. God bless you. Hallelujah. Little as much when God's in it. You never know what effect your compassion might have. Lord, we love you. God, we thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each and every single person you brought out here tonight. Lord, I ask, would you convict our hearts? Help us to be more like Jesus. Help us to be more fruitful in our spiritual walk with you. God, help us to be soul winners. Help us to be good testimonies and good witnesses, God. Lord, help us not to forget where you brought us from, Lord, where you've taken us to. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the blood. The Lord Jesus Christ and Calvary's cross where he bore our sins. God, we thank you for it. We give you glory for it. Father, there's nothing that the church couldn't do that for us. Lord, the money couldn't do that for us. Religion couldn't do that for us. Only you could. And we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to use every essence of our life and being to point people to you. We'll thank you for all that you do.
In Jesus' name, amen.